7. Well, let's start in West Africa and the Air Algérie tragedy. It was confirmed late last night that the wreckage of the plane has been found in Mali's Gossi region. It had been en route from Burkina Faso to Alger on board 116 people, a huge storm thought to be the cause of the crash. Fintan Ryan is a retired Aer Lingus captain. Good morning to you, Fintan.
Good morning. You also
worked as an engineer with Inmarsat, which works with satellites in terms of tracking planes and such like. You've undoubtedly been looking at this storm and the conditions surrounding the crash. Do we know what happened?
Well, we don't know what happened, but we have a situation where what is likely that the weather was involved. Now, when I heard that the aircraft had crashed, the first thing I did is I looked at the satellite images for the area, and I found there was a massive storm. That's in the intertropical convergence zone, which is an area of thunderstorms that moves north and south of the equator as seasons change. Also, I looked at the weather for the particular airport, Ouagadougou, and I found that they were forecasting thunderstorms there. At the time the aircraft took off, there was no thunderstorm there, but later on, for the next 2 or 3 hours, there were thunderstorms there. So the aircraft was flying into thunderstorms. The actual airport itself is in the middle of nowhere sort of thing, and they had a lot of systems out of service. For instance, there were 4 radio systems out of service. The radio navigation beacon at the airport was out of service. And the aircraft, I'm sure, was able to talk to the tower, but they would have taken off. They would have been totally aware of all these thunderstorms, and they would have had a weather radar. And the weather radar, they would use that to actually navigate its way through, like an obstacle course, between the very active thunderstorm cells and the less active ones. In other words, keeping the quieter air. But unfortunately, it would seem that they were having difficulty communicating. And to actually change course, you actually had to clear that with air traffic control. And they were obviously having problems with that. So I feel myself that they might have gone left it a bit too late and ended up entering one of the really, really bad cells.
And is that request or that change in course an indication of just how bad that storm could have been?
No, it could be quite normal, actually, when you have thunderstorms, that to actually deviate a course right or left to get into quieter air, so to speak, and keep out of the icing and the very, very heavy rain and ice and hail that's associated with it. So it would be quite normal. But the problem is, in, let's say, in European or North American airspace, you have immediate contact with air traffic control. But there you have situations where the communications are very, very bad. It depends on HF, which is shortwave radio, extremely, an awful lot of interference and that sort of thing, and a huge delays in actually getting to the air traffic controller. For instance, you may have to relay through other stations. I think, right, in actual fact, he was talking to air traffic controllers in Niger, which is a different country altogether.
It's a bit of a hop. What about the plane in question?
Well, the aircraft is used to be called a DC-9. It's an MD-83 now, about 150 passengers. This particular one was 18 years old. It actually had 8 previous owners, but it would have been maintained in accordance with the requirements, and I don't think the actual age of the aircraft could have anything to do with it.
It's been an extraordinary week, hasn't it? An extraordinary 2 weeks in terms of the number of air tragedies we've had.
Yeah, well, we've had 3. There was another one down in the Far East, an aircraft landing down there after a typhoon that crashed. We had the MH17, which is, we still don't know the result of that, but I think, you know, they'll be able to tell from the damage to the aircraft what happened to it. I don't think the flight recorders will, or the voice recorders will be of great assistance, because I think it probably was a missile. As regards the one in Mali, I don't think it was a missile. The missiles there were SA-7s. They're only capable of shooting down aircraft when they're coming into land, that sort of thing.
And then part of the difficulty with the case in Ukraine is that the crash site has been contaminated effectively by people and even parts of the aircraft missing.
Well, you see, one of the things the investigators would be looking at would be the residues of the explosion, and they might actually be able to trace back the actual to a particular missile. All the stuff that was there may have been interfered with. In other words, there may have been really good evidence that was removed by people who knew that it might drop them in trouble. Mm. But the Mali one, of course, the voice recorder and the black box, the two black boxes that will be of great assistance, because, you know, if the aircraft broke up, it may have, or else it may have, the systems may have iced up and the instruments could have been wrong. The engines could have actually stopped because of the massive amount of water that was going into them, or it could have been disorientation because of the massive turbulence. But the recorders will be great use in the Mali accident.
And of course, in the case of Mali as well, the plane crash in Gossi. So getting there, getting teams there as well, quite a remote location.
Extremely remote. It's right in the middle of the Sahara Desert. And you hear about these places, but they're just little villages in the middle of nowhere, and extremely, you know, no proper roads or anything like that. And you might look at the Sahara as a flat area, but in actual fact, it's very mountainous and extremely difficult terrain. And particularly as at the moment, there's lots of, because of the thunderstorm activity, there's lots of sandstorms. And so that makes it extremely difficult.
And huge conflict on the ground as well in Mali, which could pose problems.
Yes, well, the US issued a directive to its airlines not to fly over Mali below 24,000 feet. That's because they believe, I think myself normally, what they say is, how far can these missiles go and multiply it by three? But the SA-7s wouldn't have been able to shoot down an aircraft up that high.
All right. Yeah. Fintan Ryan, thanks for coming in to us this morning. That's Fintan Ryan, retired Aer Lingus captain, also a former engineer with Inmarsat as well. So what we're going to do is move on now, the time being 20 minutes past 7.